live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Dáil has been told that until staffing issues in acute hospitals are tackled, tragedies such as the death of Margaret Callaghan in Letterkenny will happen again. It's estimated that there are almost 15,200 hidden children waiting for treatment at acute hospitals across the North West and West regions. Any lingering hopes that Lifford Greyhound Stadium might reopen have been dealt a severe blow, with confirmation that funding will not be restored by the Irish Greyhound Board. And almost €300,000 in funding has been announced for Letterkenny Institute of Technology to establish a Killybegs marine cluster. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Dáil has been told that until staffing issues in acute hospitals are tackled, tragedies such as the death of Margaret Callaghan in Letterkenny will happen again. Miss Callaghan waited 71 minutes for an ambulance despite living less than 6 minutes from Letterkenny University Hospital. The inquest was told the ambulance that transferred Miss Callaghan to hospital had to come from Dunloe, while two ambulances were parked at Letterkenny University Hospital, unable to transfer their patients into the care of medical staff. Speaking during leaders' questions, Fianna Fáil Deputy Dara Cleary told Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty that Miss Callaghan's death raises serious questions. Minister Doherty acknowledged ambulance turnaround times are below target, but said the HSE winter plan will help resolve the situation.
To support all of the initiatives at local level, and the initiatives for this particular area include the reablement programme to assist in reducing presentations and admissions, additional medical registrars who are senior decision makers, and so the extra staff that you've pointed out that are needed are going to be put in place. Additional aids and appliances to facilitate the discharge of people when they need to be discharged, as opposed to keeping them in hospital when they shouldn't be there. And additional rapid flu testing kits and local PCR flu testing to reduce the length of stays, facilitate diagnosis and treatment of flu patients, to reduce isolation demand and reduce the impacts of the outbreaks that we know are going to come. We're also going to reduce patient experience times and trolley numbers through a speedier turnaround of the beds and management of infection control by providing additional cleaning hours. And all of that, whilst it doesn't directly impact what happened in this tragedy, does obviously have a knock-on effect as to when our ambulances arrive, if there's nobody to take the people and the presentations of the citizens in those ambulances into the hospital, then obviously that's where the backlog comes. We need to ensure that that doesn't happen again. And whilst I can't give you a personal guarantee that it won't, I really, really do hope that the initiatives that we're putting in place can ensure that no other family has to go through what the Callaghan family are going through.
However, Deputy Cleary said the minister was disconnected from the real issue and stressed his belief that the winter plan is not the answer.
Your answer kind of shows a complete disconnect between the government and what's happening in hospitals. The difficulties in our emergency departments are nothing to do with people getting sick and presenting to emergency departments. They're to do with the fact that there's 300 fewer staff nurses employed in our system in October compared to last December. That there's 350 consultant vacancies that are not available to attend, and a further 350 consultant posts filled by non-consultants. In Letterkenny itself, and Deputy McConlogue has consistently highlighted this, despite a promise from the local minister that 20 extra beds will be opened this year, only 10 have been opened. And that is where the difficulties are, that our emergency departments are under-resourced, are understaffed, that nursing resources and consultant resources, which are absolutely necessary, are not in place. You cite the winter plan. There will be no new beds opened under that winter plan. There will be no new staff appointed under that winter plan. And Minister, what I need you to do, and I know you will be personally committed to this, is to ensure that we don't have any repeat of this. But unless you deal with the staffing situation and the resource situation, I very much regret to say that we probably will.
It's estimated that there are almost 15,200 hidden children waiting for treatment at acute hospitals across the northwest and west regions. According to the Irish Hospital Consultants, the data reveals the full extent of the problem which children and their families are experiencing across the west and northwest region in accessing timely hospital care. However, acute public hospitals across Ireland, such as Letterkenny University Hospital, do not publish standalone data on the number of children waiting. Martin Varley, Secretary General of the Irish Hospital Consultants Association, is calling for full transparency on the matter.
Only by publishing these figures will we really get to the stage whereby the investment we put in place to make sure the waiting lists don't continue. We do it for adults in general, and the adult lists include the children, but they're not segregated out, so we cannot see how many children are waiting for the various specialties and how many are waiting from up to 3 months, up to 6 months, up to 9 months, over 12 months, over 18 months, and etc. We really need to see that, and the public need to see those figures.
We see the daily publications from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, their trolley watch reports. More often than enough then, subsequently, the government faces backlash for those trolley figures. Do you feel in that sense there might be a reluctance there from the government to publish such lists on waiting lists?
Well, unfortunately, that's our concern, that the government doesn't want to publish figures which are available because it highlights the problem. But there's nothing to be gained by actually hiding the problem. We need to be stand up for our children. We need to stand up for our patients. We need to make sure there is an insufficient capacity in our hospitals, that it's addressed in a constructive, planned basis, so that we're not repeating these discussions year after year. And we need real action by the government. And we've been saying that to them for at least a decade. And in fact, what's happening is the government is discriminating against our highly trained specialists and doctors and effectively driving them abroad, having invested heavily in their education and leaving vacancies in the hospitals such as Letterkenny, such as Sligo and Roscommon and throughout the Saolta Hospital Group.
John Delaney was paid a six-figure settlement by the FAI in September. The €462,000 paid to the former CEO is made up of 3 months' pay and pension contributions. The FAI's current liabilities stand at €55 million, which include around €30 million in bank debt. Executive lead of the association, Paul Cook, says the ongoing investigations may unveil further liabilities.
I think, as I said, today is a day we're drawing a line under it. We're moving forward. As far as, you know, everything I can see is in those accounts. Now, obviously, again, with one caveat, I've mentioned there's investigations going on. They might throw up other liabilities. But other than that, we are very comfortable that those figures represent the true position.
Almost €300,000 in funding has been announced for Letterkenny Institute of Technology to establish a Killybegs Marine Cluster as part of a new plan to drive links between higher education and businesses in the county. Education Minister Joe McHugh says the big ambition is to use the Killybegs Cluster as a way to ignite innovation in the region and enhance the capabilities of homegrown businesses to build globally. The funding has been approved through the Regional Technology Clustering Fund, which is administered by Enterprise Ireland. IT President Paul Hannigan says it will benefit both the college and the companies.
The genesis of this is discussions that we've had ongoing with companies in Killybegs over a long period of time, and particularly with the Killybegs Harbour Development Group. It's a group of 19 companies with a turnover of over €250 million, with almost 95% of that being exported. So this is a significant cluster of companies that have come together. We've been working, I suppose, in Killybegs back as far as the task force back in 2013 and working with Donegal County Council and other stakeholders in terms of trying to support companies in Killybegs. But this is a real opportunity for us, and the companies have come together very strong on this, and Enterprise Ireland came forward with this funding call, which allows the third level institutions to engage with clusters of companies. So in our case, we chose to engage with the cluster in Killybegs, and we made the submission back at the end of August, and we're delighted that the Minister has made the announcement today.
We have seen in the past, in particular, computer companies, international companies working closely with the IT in Letterkenny. It's led to very fruitful relationships and indeed, crucially, employment for college graduates in those companies. That means they can stay in Donegal. You're hoping, I'm sure, to see something similar in Killybegs, that graduates will come out of Letterkenny IT and find themselves working locally in Donegal.
Absolutely. I think that's happening more and more, Donal, right across the board. But I think when you look at the cluster of companies in Killybegs and the significance of them and the work they're doing, there are great opportunities for, you know, graduates from all disciplines within those companies. And I think it's a matter of just realising that potential and growing those companies even further. And what this funding allows us to do is to employ an individual to develop those links further and to look at bringing the companies together as a working cluster so that they continue to thrive and we can benefit as a result of that.
Any lingering hopes that Lifford Greyhound Stadium might reopen have been dealt a severe blow with confirmation that funding will not be restored by the Irish Greyhound Board. A report on the future of the industry recommends the ending of funding for tracks in Lifford, Longford, Enniscorthy and Youghal. In a statement this afternoon, the Irish Greyhound Board says it accepts the recommendations of the report. The Lifford track, which operated for 60 years, employed up to 40 people, but closed in August, citing a lack of adequate funding from the IGB. CEO of the Irish Greyhound Board, Gerard Dollard, says the report finds the country cannot support the current number of tracks.
We and Indycon have looked at the industry as a whole, and I think the conclusions from the report are that 16 stadia in Ireland is way outside of international norms, and the cost of maintaining that level of infrastructure is unsustainable, and for that reason they have recommended that funding would be ceased in respect of four different stadia.
A court has heard intoxication will play a major part in the defence of two Donegal men accused of murdering a 66-year-old man in Sydney. 22-year-old Nathan Kelly and 25-year-old Christopher McLaughlin are alleged to have murdered Paul William Tavoldaris in the Summerhill area of the city in December of last year. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The men, reportedly from the Inishowen area, had been charged previously with recklessly causing grievous bodily harm. A police upgraded the charge to murder after the man died in hospital on March the 4th. The two appeared in the New South Wales Supreme Court, an audio-visual link from a prison in Sydney's eastern suburbs, both wearing button-up prison green polo shirts. Neither entered a plea via their barrister, Margaret Cunning. Justice Elizabeth Fullerton told Miss Cunning it was clear that the very, very severe intoxication by alcohol was a factor in the alleged crime. Miss Fullerton added there was some degree of incapacity by the two men at the time of the incident. Attempts at setting a trial date in March, May or June of 2020 failed, as the prosecution and defence have yet to agree on key facts regarding intoxication. The two men are due to appear in the same court on February the 14th of 2020.
ABP Food Group has strongly criticised the Irish Farmers Association for protests outside retail distribution centres. The company's confirmed it will increase the base price of cattle from Monday. In a statement this afternoon, it labelled the protests irresponsible, disruptive and illegal. Donegal County Council says its severe weather assessment team is currently monitoring the situation ahead of the arrival of Storm Attia on Sunday. Orange and yellow alerts will come into effect on Sunday morning as the storm tracks between Iceland and Ireland with winds of up to 130 kilometres per hour set to batter Donegal. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Met Éireann has issued a status orange wind warning for Donegal and all counties along the western seaboard from 9am on Sunday morning until 6am on Monday. Storm Attia will track between Iceland and Ireland on Sunday, generating a swathe of very strong winds across the country. It's forecast that southwesterly winds, later veering northwesterly, will reach mean speeds of 65 to 80 kilometres an hour, with gusts from 110 to 130 kilometres an hour. Met Éireann is also advising that due to a combination of high seas and storm surge, there is a possibility of coastal flooding. Donegal County Council's severe weather assessment team is currently monitoring the advice from the National Directorate for Fire and Emergency Management and weather forecasts and says plans will be put in place accordingly. The council is urging people to keep up to date with the weather forecasts, to take the necessary precautions, to stay safe and to protect property during this weather event.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where you can get the new Donegal jersey and meet the players in-store on Saturday, December 7th from 12 to 2.
At 16 minutes past 5, it's time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with boxing news from overnight. Jason Quigley won his super middleweight bout in Orange County in California. He stopped Mexican Abraham Cordero in three rounds, taking his 17th pro career win and putting his first defeat back in July firmly behind him. Quigley was fighting for the first time under new coach Andy Lee.
It's good on a number of levels. I think he had to exercise a lot of demons tonight, and I think that was more of a fight, a personal, internal fight he had to go through than actual the fight that was happening in the ring. He was slightly hesitant, I think, and I know from my own experience of after coming back after a loss, things that you would do instinctively, you start to second guess yourself. It was a good finish. He rushed it a little bit. He could have been a bit more composed, but that was the release. You could see all that months of frustration and whatever, depression probably, and sadness and anger at himself coming out. It's a good win. Good win against an experienced and seasoned opponent who doesn't get stopped. It's only the first fight. There'll be bigger challenges ahead and there'll be bigger improvements in how Jason fights.
Andy Lee there speaking about Jason Quigley, who took victory last night. Moving on to soccer, and the FAI will seek to remortgage their debt on the Aviva Stadium until 2034, following today's publication of their 2018 accounts. Figures released today show that the association have liabilities exceeding €55 million. The account auditors, Deloitte, are unable to state the FAI remains a going concern. Former chief executive John Delaney received a severance package of €462,000 in September, while the termination of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane's contracts cost a total of €1.9 million. Meanwhile, FAI President Donald Conway has announced he'll be standing down from the position at an EGM next month. Conway believes the FAI still has a future in its current guise.
And I would see us going forward. I do believe this is the most significant sport in the world. We're responsible for that sport in this country. Our national teams are a huge, valuable property. I would see us being able to push forward from here on.
Elsewhere in soccer, cross-channel Chelsea will be able to dip into the transfer market next month. The Court of Arbitration for Sport has halved the club's transfer ban following an appeal. Chelsea had been punished by FIFA for breaching regulations regarding the transfer of young players and were unable to purchase players in the summer. Meanwhile, Leicester manager Brendan Rodgers has signed a new 5.5-year contract with the club. He's taken them to second in the Premier League this season after joining from Celtic in February. Rodgers had been linked with the vacant Arsenal job after Unai Emery was sacked last week. On the pitch tonight in the Championship, there's one game down for decision. Millwall, they host fourth place Nottingham Forest. Tomorrow, the Irish League Premiership, there's a full fixture list down for decision. Institute, who are going well recently, they're away to Carrick Rangers. And Coleraine, who are joint top, they're at home to Glentoran. Elsewhere, Finn Harps have announced that midfielder Gareth Harkin has re-signed with the club for the upcoming season. Harkin returned to the club in 2014 after a previous spell in 2011 and has been a regular in the squad under manager Ollie Horgan. He's the first to put pen to paper for the new season after Horgan confirmed his own contract extension at a press conference earlier this week. The Knockalla Caravans Cup, there's two games down for decision tonight. In the first round, Derry City Reserves, they play Milford United at 7:30. The winners of that are at home to Kildrum Tigers on Sunday. And in the quarterfinal at 7:45 tonight, Bonagie United, they play Finn Harps Reserves. The other tie in that competition sees Fannet United playing Letterkenny Rovers on Sunday. The FAI Intermediate Cup replay between Middleton of Cork and Coghill Celtic takes place on Sunday at 11:30. The winners will be at home in the next round. And in the FAI Youth League tomorrow in Ballyar at 2 o'clock, Donegal play Mayo. A Donegal win would leave them top of the group. And in the New Balance FAI Under-17s FAI Challenge Cup third round, Carandonna, they play Limerick team Kappa Moore. That game is also on tomorrow at 2 o'clock in Rishini. In Gaelic games, the Ulster Minor Club Tournament preliminary round up in St Paul's in Belfast tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Termin, they play Silverbridge Harps of Armagh. Well, Termin's manager Trevor Alcorn spoke to Tom Comack and he says the tournament means a lot to the club.
Means a lot to the club. You know, I was just thinking about it today there that, it's unbelievable for such a small club. It means a great deal to the older generation even, believe it or not, and the people who, you know, made this idea a reality to start this club. You know, even to older men and women in the club congratulating you, you know, with pure emotion on their face. Like,
yeah,
just lets you know what it means, Tom, and even what it means to this young, you know, the young boys and girls and the young boys in this team and even the young boys and girls coming through.
Elsewhere in Gaelic games on Sunday, the Under-21A Championship Final takes place in Convoy at 1 o'clock. St Junan's the holders, they're up against Nave Connell. In rugby, Jacob Stockdale will start at fullback for Ulster in tomorrow's Heineken Champions Cup visit of Harlequins to Kingspan Stadium. There's action in Ulster's Pool 3 as well, with Bath facing Claremont. Elsewhere, Jordan Larmer's in at 15 for Leinster's trip to Northampton tomorrow, with Jameson Gibson Park named at fullback alongside captain Johnny Sexton. And Tadhg Birnie starts at blindside for Munster at home to Saracens with Andrew Conway, Keith Earls, Conor Murray and Peter O'Mahony. they're among those returning. And Jared Butler returns to captain Connacht from number 8 for their huge trip to Gloucester, having come off the bench last week. In local rugby, an AIL Division 2 seed, City of Derry are at home tomorrow to Enniscorthy. Elsewhere in the McCambley Cup, and as shown, they play Carrickfergus. And in Championship 3, Letterkenny, they travel to play Monaghan. In athletics this weekend, Brenton Boyce is in action tomorrow. He takes part in the AA1 Walks Championship. That's in Raheny in Dublin tomorrow. And Letterkenny's Teresa McDade is with Team Ireland at the European Cross Country Championships on Sunday. That has taken place in Lisbon in Portugal. In golf on the European Tour this week, the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open is taking place. And after the second round, Scotland's Callum Hull leads the way on 12 under. He's one ahead of Matthew Pavon, Thomas Dietrich and Brandon Stone. And round 3 at the Hero World Challenge is just getting underway in the Bahamas. After round 2, Patrick Reed, he leads the way. He's on 12 under par, 3 clear of Gary Woodland. He's on 9 under, with tournament host Tiger Woods back on 6 under par. In snooker, there's quarter-final action in the UK Championship in York today. Antrim's Mark Allen, he's in action in the evening session at 7 o'clock. He's up against Nigel Bond. This afternoon, John Higgins trails Yan Bing Tao. He's 5-3 behind there. And in the all-Chinese match, Ding Jung Wei, he defeated Lian Weng Bo by 6-2. In boxing, Andy Ruiz has weighed in 3 stone heavier than Anthony Joshua for tomorrow's heavyweight world title fight. Joshua is the lightest he's ever been for a title fight, while Ruiz is a stone heavier than the last meeting in June. Ruiz is looking to defend the WBA, IBF and WBO belts he won in New York. Finally, in tennis, former world number 1 Caroline Wozniacki has announced her retirement. The 29-year-old will play her final tournament at next month's Australian Open. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be a Saturday sport, which is from 2 to 6 tomorrow. Back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And for weather now, tonight will be dry in most areas, cool with lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, it all has been told that until staffing issues in acute hospitals are tackled, tragedies such as the death of Margaret Callaghan in Letterkenny will happen again. Ms Callaghan waited 71 minutes for an ambulance despite living less than 6 minutes from Letterkenny University Hospital. It's estimated that there are almost 15,200 hidden children waiting for treatment at acute hospitals across the northwest and west regions. According to the Irish Hospital Consultants, the data reveals the full extent of the problem which children and their families are experiencing across the region in accessing timely hospital care. Almost €300,000 in funding has been announced for Letterkenny Institute of Technology to establish a Killybegs Marine Cluster as part of a new plan to drive links between higher education and businesses in the county. Education Minister Joe McHugh says the big ambition is to use the Killybegs Cluster as a way to ignite innovation in the region and enhance the capabilities of homegrown businesses to build globally. And any lingering hopes that Liver Greyhound Stadium might reopen have been dealt a severe blow, with confirmation that funding will not be restored by the Irish Greyhound Board. A report on the future of the industry recommends the ending of funding for tracks in Lifford, Longford, Enniscorthy and Youghal. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening of the 6th of December. The death has occurred at Archview Lodge Nursing Home of Father Frank McHugh, 82 Lower Main Street, Letterkenny. Viewing in Archview Lodge from 12 noon to 3 p.m. tomorrow, with removal at 3 p.m. to his home at 82 Lower Main Street. House private pleas to family and friends. Funeral on Monday at 12 noon in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. House strictly private pleas to immediate family on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Maisie Vance, Gortree, Newton Cunningham. Her remains will repose at Gibson's Funeral Home Convoy until 9 o'clock tonight. Funeral service there tomorrow morning at 11:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot at Newton Cunningham Parish Church. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred of Anna Kelly, Ne Warriski, Lower Illies, Ballybegan, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her late residence at Lower Illies. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church, Coghill, Buncrana, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Kathleen Quinn, née Wilson, Fetty Glass, Rafoe, and formerly of St Johnson. Her remains will repose at her home from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Brindley Manor Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. The death has occurred of Bridget McGee, 106 Ardmacool, Stranorder. Her remains will repose at her home from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, with interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time from 10pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Teresa Lynch, née Breen, 50 Drumron Road, Drumquin. Teresa's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 2:20 for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place in Scotland of Joseph Joe Danjo Gallagher, formerly of Ballard, Aranmore Island. Requiem Mass on Thursday, December 12th at 11 o'clock in St Finan's Roman Catholic Church, Creef, Perthshire, Scotland. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.